Hey, everyone. Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.
Live from our WSBT radio studios in downtown South Bend.
Let's go! Come on!
Welcome to Budweiser's weekday sports beat.
Wow, don't blink. A lot of major intestinal fortitude going on here.
On your home for Notre Dame football.
Knocked down by Wooden. The game is over. The Irish is upset. Florida State, Notre Dame is number one.
And Notre Dame basketball.
Number one ranked UCLA Bruins have been upset by the Irish of Notre Dame.
Good! Enrique Ogunbowale wins the national championship for Notre Dame.
Plus, Fighting Irish hockey.
They score! Jake Evans scores! Notre Dame 3.7 seconds away from a spot in the national championship game.
The NFL and Major League Baseball.
Oh my gracious, how about that?
Sports Radio 960 WSBT, WSBTRadio.com, the free WSBT radio app.
Big time onions!
Now, here's your host, seven-time Associated Press Broadcasting Award winner, Darren Pritchett.
And I'm joined by Eric Hansen, the Hall of Fame writer, publisher, and editor at InsideIndySports.com. We have 2 hours of Budweiser's weekday sports beat tonight because South Bend Cubs baseball is on 96.1 The Ton, so we can bring you the 2024 National Football League Draft. A draft in which we expect Notre Dame's Joe Alt to go in the top 10. But a lot of rumors are flying today. You never know what's true. I think, Eric, we could call it the silly season, where you don't know what is true and what is not true in the rumor mill. But there's a little bit of a buzz that Alt may not be the first tackle taken tonight, as we have believed for the past month. We'll get to those storylines and more coming up in the first segment of the program. Also, we will go through Eric's Inside IndySports.com chat recap, which occurred live yesterday at noon. And then tonight at 5:30, it is the replay with audio here on WSBT Radio. We'll have our Twitter question of the day results from yesterday and today's Twitter question of the day. We'll have commentary in the 6 o'clock hour from Bears general manager Ryan Poles on the eve of drafting at number 1 and number 9 in tonight's draft. Also, it's going to be an absolute disaster, but it's for fun. We'll have a segment in the 6 o'clock hour where I'll make my predictions for the first 15 picks of the draft. The No Chance This Will Happen mock draft will be in the 6 o'clock hour, and we'll wrap up the program with our sports wagering segment. I went 2-2 last night, just not getting hot. Need to get going here in the month of April. Well, at least the weather's warming up. That's a good thing.
It is. I see like 80s maybe for this weekend. Nobody's mock draft is ever right.
It's so difficult because you just don't know if there's going to be chaos. And it feels like there might be chaos tonight with teams jockeying for position for quarterbacks and offensive tackles. Apparently, offensive tackles, teams are willing to move up to get the premier ones. And there are three or four in the conversation, including Notre Dame's Joe Alt. So it's going to be a fascinating night. The draft will probably start at 4. If the Patriots take a quarterback, the first three picks are going to be quarterbacks. So then Arizona, who has Kyler Murray, that's when the draft gets rolling, because then is somebody moving up to take a quarterback? Is someone moving up to take an offensive tackle? Marvin Harrison Jr., You know, that's when I should probably do this. It could be anything at number four. And throughout the draft, it's going to be a very interesting night. Again, with all those really good offensive tackles, what is the league, Eric? It is throw the football, and that means defenses have to have pass rushers and cornerbacks to have a chance to succeed. And when you've got edge rushers coming at your quarterback, what do you need? Offensive tackles who can shut down the edges of your offense. And that's why guys like Joe Alt are in so demand right now.
Okay, let me throw you some trivia, Joe Alt trivia.
Oh, gosh.
Well, let's see if you remember. I think if you give it some. So Joe Alt started the last eight games of the 2021 season as a true freshman. He was the fourth choice to play left tackle that year. There were three others. Can you name them and in order of who went before Joe Alt?
Oh, my goodness.
And one is in this draft.
Yeah, well, I think the first game was Blake Fisher.
Correct.
Against Florida State.
Right. Gets hurt and is out until the bowl game. So it was Blake Fisher.
And Joe Alt was so good, Blake Fisher became a right tackle.
Exactly.
Left tackle between Fisher and Alt. Oh, gosh. I'm absolutely drawing a blank at this time.
Michael Carmody.
Oh, gosh. Wouldn't have got that.
Who is now at UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
And Tosh Baker.
Baker. Yep, there you go. Wow.
And then Joe Alt.
Fourth in line.
And then never left that until he opted out of the Sun Bowl when Charles Jagaza became the third ever freshman in Notre Dame history to start at left tackle. And it's funny, it's all those three. It's Fisher was first, Alt was second, and Jagaza was third. They're the only players in Notre Dame history to start as freshmen at left tackle. Now, there have been freshman offensive linemen who have started interior or at right tackle, like Sam Young and Ryan
Harris. I was going to ask, was Sam Young a right tackle first?
At first. So was Ryan Harris, and then they moved to left. But their first start came as right tackle.
That's crazy.
Yes, freshman.
Well, remember how rough that offensive line was, and Alt was a reason why it settled down. I think against Virginia Tech? He made his first start, I want to say. Kind of makes you believe the offensive coaches maybe did not put the best five guys on the field right away that year.
Right. It was interesting because they also brought in Kristofic. They wanted a more physical left guard, and he bumped Zeke Correll, who had been starting at left guard.
And now here we are, wondering who the left tackle and right tackle will be while Alden Fisher get ready to hear their name called in the National Football League draft tonight, and Fisher more so tomorrow.
Right.
I'll save it. We're going to talk about Fisher and all the possible Notre Dame picks in a minute. So let me start by saying the Cubs did close out their win over the Astros 3-1. Pete Crow Armstrong, their young phenom outfielder, hit his first home run. It was his first major league hit, a two-run shot. So the Cubs sweep the Astros, who are now 7-18 on the season, a rare recent bad start for the Astros. Okay, with the NFL draft coming up tonight on WSBT Radio, we've got an NFL draft theme to the show tonight. And our hat trick of opening topics are going to center around Notre Dame players. And we're going to break it down this way. Our first topic is going to be the Notre Dame players who are first-round possibilities. The second topic, second- and third-round possibilities, which means they would be selected tomorrow. And then our third topic is fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh round possibilities. Those rounds take place on Saturday. So with that, Eric, let's get started. We'll do our best Mel Kiper Jr. impersonation. First round possibilities for Notre Dame. It is a very short list, but an elite player is ready to hear his name called tonight. And it is the guy we just talked about, Notre Dame starting left tackle, Joe Alt. The last 2 years, it's hard to find a better left tackle in the country. I guess we'll find out tonight if NFL executives believe he is the best offensive tackle prospect in the draft. That might be up for grabs. There's some speculation. The Chargers might want to go with what they believe is a more physical offensive tackle in J.C. Latham of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And Eric, I said that to you yesterday. There was buzz about Ault, and I heard it again today, that Ault is technically sound. He moves great, but there are offensive tackles that offer more physicality than Joe Ault, which Jim Harbaugh is wanting to play smash mouth, run the ball with the LA Chargers, and that's why Ault may not be his pick, despite the fact who recruited Joe Ault to Michigan? Jim Harbaugh. Is that kind of phony to you hearing that?
There's fake narratives thrown in by NFL people trying to get misdirection on players because they want a certain player or so forth. So I don't buy that Joe Ault is going to fall significantly. Could somebody else be picked ahead of him? Sure. I mean, there are not everybody sees through the same lens prospects. I mean, and otherwise we'd never have a draft bust and we'd never have trades in the draft for people trading up. So, I mean, it's possible, but I think Joe Ault is going to go very high, and I think anybody that questions whether he could be a really good player in the NFL probably shouldn't be getting paid for it.
Well, today is the 35th anniversary of the Green Bay Packers with the second overall selection, taking the can't-miss prospect, an offensive tackle from Michigan State.
Oh, Tony Mandrich. I wrote a story about him way, way back in the day.
Barry Sanders went to the Detroit Lions as the Packers went with Tony Mandrich.
I remember him very well.
Boy, that was the bust of all busts. I mean, he couldn't play a lick in the National Football League.
Well, and he had the big steroids controversy and so forth, and maybe that's why he couldn't play.
Maybe couldn't move a whole lot. Couldn't flex.
I remember Michigan State put out his daily diet, and included supposedly 7 entire chickens was in the diet. This is back before there was internet, Darren.
That's just gross. 7 chickens.
Yeah.
Every day.
Allegedly.
I mean, you would have to find different ways to flavor it, right? To like Wade Boggs, his pregame meal back in the day, wasn't it pasta every time?
Well, and that wasn't all that he ate. How could you consume that much?
I don't want to try.
Yeah, I don't want to try either. It sounds like a contest that would have you in a coma for a couple weeks.
I feel manly when I eat 15 chicken wings. I feel like that's a pretty good accomplishment.
That is manly, Darren. That is a measure of your masculinity.
Chickens. Holy Toledo. That's just awful. That's just awful.
No, those are mud hens.
So, Joe Ault is going to hear his name called tonight. I think it is safe to assume the first position he would be taking is number 5. Right now, the LA Chargers have that particular spot. I just don't see many scenarios where he falls past 10 to the New York Jets. If he falls outside of the top 10, I would be absolutely shocked by that, because throughout this entire process, or even narrowing it down to the last month or two, Eric, consistently with all the different mock drafts, which you have to say, hey, they are mock drafts, but everybody's had him in the top 10.
Tyler James did a story that's on InsideIndySports.com. You can read it right now, where he went through all the big boards and mock drafts for all the Notre Dame players. And so there were 7 mock drafts that involved Joe Ault. All 7 had him between 5 and 9.
Okay.
Nobody lower than 9, nobody higher than 5. So if he's lower than 9, then they're all wrong. Notre Dame, just bigger picture, we think we'll have 8 guys drafted. There's 12 that would like to end up in NFL camps. A couple of those are specialists, And then a couple guys that probably won't get drafted, but you never know. They, you know, Thomas Harper might be the ninth, for example.
Within Tyler's article, which is at InsideIndySports.com, does he list the teams that select all in those drafts? I'm just curious the team names.
The interesting thing was these people will do the trades.
Right.
And every one of them thinks it's the Titans. Now, one of them thinks the Titans will trade up to 5 to get him. The Titans must be picking at number 7 because
yes.
a lot of them. And then two of them think the Titans will trade down and get him at 9.
They have a left tackle, so I've heard he would play right tackle right. in Tennessee.
Right. And I got asked that question on a Giants podcast with John Smelk and Howard Cross Jr., who's Howard Cross III's dad, who played tight end for the Giants, and they were asking me that question. Do you think he could play right tackle?
Yeah.
He could probably play quarterback. Come on.
All right, we're graduating another great offensive lineman from Notre Dame to the National Football League. Now let's go to our second. Go ahead.
Let me add one more thing with Joe Alt. If Joe Alt does get drafted at all, think about this. He would be the 11th Harry Hiestand protege to be drafted since 2014 and the fifth first rounder. And in fairness, Joe Alt was recruited by Jeff Quinn and played 1 year for him, played 1 year for Harry, and then played 1 year for Joe Rudolph. So he had three different offensive line coaches. But Harry Hiestand's hand in this is amazing. And Blake Fisher will be number 12.
So first-round picks from Harry would be Liam Eichenberg.
No, he was 2.
Was he 2?
Yep.
Okay. Zach Martin.
Yep.
Quentin Nelson.
Yep.
Obviously, Alt's going to be another. Who am I missing? Martin? I thought Eichenberg went first-round, but he was second-round. Okay.
A guy that played for your favorite team, I think, this past year.
Ryan Harris?
No.
Oh, no. I was going to say he was
Mike
well McGlinchey. Before.
Didn't he play?
Oh, that's right. McGlinchey was a 49er and went to Denver.
And then Ronnie Stanley.
Ronnie Stanley.
Yep. Okay.
Wow, that's a heck
of
a
four
list.
Four of those guys were top 10 picks, and Zach Martin should have been.
Yes.
Yeah. But the Cowboys were happy to get him at 14.
It's difficult to take a guard in the top 10 unless they are just extremely special, which Quentin Nelson fell into that category, and Zach Martin, now what we know, falls into that category as well. He's going to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and there was some projection in that he was a 4-year starter as a left tackle, and he was moving inside, so, you know, the Cowboys were like, should we take him?
Worked out okay.
Yeah.
Second and third round possibilities, so these players will be taken on Friday. I think of the two guys we put into this category, I would say one is a lock to be taken in the second and the third round. The other guy, I think it is totally up in the air. If we had a third, fourth round category, it would probably better fit him. Let's start with the guy that I think we both believe will be taken on Friday in either the second or the third round, and that is right tackle Blake Fisher. Here's my question. Is he a tackle or is he a guard in the National Football League?
I think he's going to end up being a tackle. I've seen people say guard, and they were saying that when he was at Notre Dame. It sounds like he's remade his body some during the pre-draft process, that he's become a little bit slimmer and more athletic. I mean, I think he'd do really well at right tackle. And then the interesting thing with Alton Fisher is the NFL opened its doors to underclassmen 35 drafts ago for the first time. Fisher and Alt are the first true junior offensive linemen to come out of Notre Dame. There's been guys that have given up a fifth year, like Quentin Nelson, but no one has come out as a junior, and then two of them in one draft.
With Tyler's article at InsideIndySports.com, did Fisher fall outside of the third round?
One mock had him in the fourth. The rest of them had him in the third.
So nobody had him in the second round?
No one had him in the second round, but I've seen that kind of talk about him. Somebody, again, he's a former 5-star prospect. He's got some Harry Hiestand lineage. And so that's a nice bounce for him. And I think if people talk to Harry and Harry gives his nod, I could see somebody falling in love with him and maybe jumping up to the second round to get him, but probably third.
All right, now to the tough one. Running back Audric Estime. This is a very deep running back draft. There feels like you got a bunch of guys all kind of jammed together on draft boards. I don't think there's that one guy that is special and out in front of everybody else. I think it's up in the air which running back goes first. But I really thought when the process started, Estime would be, worst case, a third-round pick. But now there is the possibility, Eric, based on the depth at the position, and you wonder that slow 40 time at the combine that he improved on pro day, if that is a factor at all in him possibly falling to Saturday.
Maybe, and he wasn't as involved in Notre Dame's passing game. He certainly could catch the ball, but he's not, you know, you look at some of the running backs in the NFL that are big parts of the running passing game as well. I really like Audric as a person, so it's hard for me to. And just his background, I mean, everything that he's been through in his life, losing his single mother, I think he was 10 years old, raised by his aunt and his uncle. He's got a cousin that's very close to him that he grew up in the same house, obviously, Terrence Fide. I just think Audric will do better than where he's drafted. He's a consensus fourth rounder by these mock drafts, the people that got this deep, because not everybody's mocks go this deep. But the four people that did go that deep have Audric as a fourth rounder. I mean, the power that he gives you. And the other thing is, I think we talked about this the other night, not a lot of tread on the tire. He barely played his freshman year. He split time with Logan Diggs his sophomore year. He was a 1,000-yard rusher his junior year, which is his last year in college, but he didn't have a ton of carries to get that 1,000 yards. So
I wonder in the interview process if he was asked by an NFL executive, so why were you not on the field at the end of that Ohio State game? I'd like to hear his answer.
Well,
he was jumping up and down, ready to go.
He probably said, they had to restrain me from running in there and being the 12th man on the field.
We got to remember, running backs have been devalued by the National Football League. You have a short lifespan with a team, and they recycle you. They move on. And so you probably are not going to see a first-round running back this year. And we'll see. Maybe there'll be a run on them in the second round. But I'm hoping Audric goes on Friday. But he might be more of a Saturday guy, which leads us to a handful of guys. We'll kind of go rapid fire here. These are the Notre Dame players who are candidates to be drafted fourth round through seventh round. And this would be on Saturday. We'll start with a player that I really like. And I think he is going to be a terrific mid-round selection for someone, and that's cornerback Cam Hart. With his height and speed, Eric, that's going to open doors for him in the National Football League, and I'm just fully expecting Cam to go very, very quickly on Saturday, and I'm actually hoping maybe at the back end of Friday, the third round, he might hear his name called.
Yeah. One of the mocks actually has him in the second round. One has
really?
Him in the third. And
love that.
Two in the fourth. Dane Brugler's my guy. Dane has him in the fourth. Mel Kiper really likes Cam Hart. 6'3" with really good speed. I think the hesitancy with Cam is the injury history. He has had multiple shoulder surgeries, and on each shoulder, I mean, it was – much of his career at Notre Dame was slowed down by the shoulder. Now, he had a healthy year last year, and they certainly, you know, when you go to the NFL Combine, they have you looked over by doctors super thoroughly, so they know what
Piece
they're getting. Otherwise, I think he probably would be a day two pick for sure if he did not have that injury history, just because people say, you know what, his best football is ahead of him, which is probably – what's going to happen.
Tom Brady's picture without his shirt off at the combine is the reason why he went in the sixth round.
Cam came to Notre Dame as a wide receiver as well.
To the guy who might surprise you, he'll go quicker in the draft than you might believe. I think that is linebacker Marist Liufau.
Yeah, Marist is a guy, he's in the mocks that are in Tyler Story, 4th, 6th, 7th, yeah. and 7th. So Pro Football Focus likes him the best. He tests well. I mean, he's got the size. Everything about him, the flashes of Maris Leofau's best, makes you want to draft him. The tape of inconsistency and not a lot of production makes you think, what happened? And a lot of that happened in the year after he missed for a kind of a gruesome lower leg break that took him out for a whole season. He did not play well the next season. So again, people are saying upside, and with those kids from Hawaii, they always over deliver, and that's another thing in his favor.
To another linebacker, J.D. Bertrand, high football IQ, and I think he opened some eyes at the Senior Bowl.
He did. I mean, he's so textbook fundamentally sound, a better athlete than you would think. He projected into two mocks. PFF had him in the 5th round. Dane Brugler has him in the 6th round.
Makes sense.
Daniel Jeremiah of the analysts on their big boards likes him the best. He had him the 119th player overall, which almost gets you to the 3rd round. So, J.D. Bertrand will be drafted in the NFL. Another 3-star guy. Maris Leofau, 3-star. Cam Hart, 3-star. Joe Alt, 3-star.
I'm a Jeremiah guy. I think he does a really good job. Former scout. Okay, now to defensive end Javonte Jean-Baptiste. Probably was not on many people's radar at this time last year, but all of a sudden comes to Notre Dame. They get out the best of Javonte Jean-Baptiste, and now pretty good chance he'll have his name called on Saturday.
He shows up in 3 multi-round mock drafts, a 5th, a 6th, and a 7th. Quite frankly, I'm surprised he's not higher. The way he played over the end of last year, what teams might be saying is that's not enough of a sample size for us to draft him higher. We'll take him lower, and then he can prove us wrong and prove good value. But I'll tell you what, Darren, at the end of the year, he was one of Notre Dame's top 5 players. In the spring before his year at Notre Dame, I thought he was going to be in a timeshare with a guy that wasn't invited back for his 6th year. So I like Javonte Jean-Baptiste. I'm glad I don't have to say it on the radio that much anymore.
And now to the mystery pick. Quarterback Sam Hartman left that Wake Forest offense to be in more of an NFL-style offense to get noticed more by NFL scouts and honestly to prove that he could run an NFL offense. Got off to a rocky start with his coordinator Tommy Reese leaving, Jared Parker taking over. Got off to a good start, and then things went sideways for Hartman, kind of at the same time where Parker had some things go sideways during the season. So what will happen? Sam Hartman drafted, or will he be signed as a free agent?
I think he probably sneaks in. There's Dane Brugler and Reed both have him as a 7th round pick to the Cincinnati Bengals, both of them. Pretty low, pretty close to being Mr. Irrelevant. Sometimes when you're in the 7th round, especially if you're a quarterback, you're almost better being a rookie free agent. You can kind of have more of a selection of where you think is a good situation for you. I think he's going to make a roster. He's just been doubted and overlooked so many times. I mean, he only had 3 scholarship offers coming out of high school. And if this NFL thing doesn't work out, he could be a soap opera star.
Like Mark Schlereth did, the old Bronco and Redskin offensive tackle. All right. I think Sam gets drafted late in the 7th round. And then guys like Thomas Harper probably will be picked up as a free agent. All right. That's a look at Notre Dame players who could have their name called in the National Football League draft. Again, we've got the draft for you starting tonight at 7 o'clock on WSBT Radio. To current Notre Dame football news, we'll have a recap of Eric's Inside IndySports.com chat next on WSBT. Love the forecast. You did a terrific job with that forecast. Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat continues on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960. WSBT, along with Eric Hansen, Hall of Fame writer, publisher, and editor at InsideIndySports.com. He covers Notre Dame athletics as part of the Rivals Network. My name is Darren Pritchett. We've got the NFL Draft coming up tonight at 7 o'clock here on WSBT Radio. And a special shout out to all the people tuning in across the world on WSBTRadio.com, our free WSBT Radio app, and a video feed where you can see Eric pondering right now on the Twitch app. 20 minutes in front of 6 o'clock, Eric hosts a terrific chat with Notre Dame fans every Wednesday at noon at InsideIndySports.com. You can be a part of that conversation as well. And we love to bring back some of the questions and have a conversation about Notre Dame football with Eric with our InsideIndySports.com chat recap. And the first question came from Grand Rapids, Michigan. He said, reading last week's chat after the fact, I was pleasantly surprised to see you predict the 2024 Notre Dame defense as a top three in college football in a passing reference in an answer. For someone not prone to hyperbole and measured in response, wow, listen to that.
I love it. This Keep is, going, Beef.
This is enormously high praise. Can you expound on what gives to the prediction in which you think the D is going to be that good? I kind of cleaned it up there. It got a little awkward. Okay.
I asked Beav one time, I said, do you have a brother named Wally? And he said, no, but I am from that vintage, from Leave It to Beaver. So they were the number five defense overall in the country. And so what I told him is, let's streamline this. This is a defense with star power and depth at every position group. It's as deep and athletic at linebacker.
Yeah.
As Notre Dame has been in a long time. They've gotten some spring surprises, which they needed, from guys like Luke Talich, Adon Shuler, who's safeties, Boubacar Traore, although he didn't surprise me, I knew he was coming.
Yep.
Jay Nosbury at linebacker, and even a down the depth chart guy like Sean Sevillano Jr. had a really good spring.
He's
at nose
guard. Big boy.
He is a big boy with a burst.
He kind of reminds me, let me rephrase that. His shape, kind of the first guy we've had since Lewis Nix.
Yeah.
The late Lewis Nix.
Absolutely. And from the same state, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Barring injury, where are the holes to me? Where the Irish had room for improvement from 2023 was in their run defense. And we saw that against teams like Louisville and Clemson that made them pay in with not having really good run defense throughout that game. I think this year's personnel will handle that aspect of the defense better. So that's why I'm saying top three.
Okay. Mike from Rochester, New York. He says, excellent podcast with Bob Morton. And I assume when people say CMF, is that Captain Marcus Freeman? Because there's a Twitter account.
Coach Marcus Freeman.
Okay. Because some people do the Captain Marcus Freeman stuff on social media. Okay, Marcus Freeman has built an incredibly strong staff that seems to be working very well together. How would you compare this group to the best staffs that Brian Kelly and Lou Holtz have? He put in parentheses, I think we could ignore the Davey and Willingham staffs. Although Davey individually had some good guys, that Urban guy turned out to be okay.
Yeah. That's what I pointed that out to him. That he actually, it was the person directing the assistants that kind of messed up the soup there.
Just find a way to beat Navy.
I think the best way to kind of, again, streamline this and look is look at the coordinators. And then you can kind of fan it out to the position coaches. And really, in the Brian Kelly era, there wasn't a great offensive coordinator and a great defensive coordinator, I think, on the staff at the same time. Well, you could say, well, Denbrock was an offensive coordinator. Well, guess who he was paired with? Brian Van Gorder, the years that he was offensive coordinator. You look back at the Lou Holtz years, and Lou was actually the offensive coordinator in most of the years. So you could say Lou and Barry Alvarez was a great combination. And then you kind of fan out and say, well, who were some of the position coaches? And Joe Moore, offensive line coach. So I would say, there's some – I mean, you have to go back to probably the Lou Holtz era to get two great coordinators, and then fan it out to the position groups.
Okay, very good.
I am in no way bitter, and no way do I have a chip on my shoulder.
I'm going to tell you what, Al Lessar, why don't you ask Eric Hansen? He has all the answers.
That's right.
Yeah, he was. Al Lessar called him for an interview, and he found a way to diss me. So, and I probably deserve
a bit of attention to what people on the outside say. You know, because I understand none of them, though.
Those were some days, my friend.
Can I tell you one quick Bob
Go
Davies
right
story?
Ahead. Okay, I'm always in the mood for Bob Davies stories.
So we're on this teleconference, and Bob was doing some work for ESPN. I can't remember who the other person was. It might have been Herb Street was on there.
I think he was with Jones a lot of times, the play-by-play guy.
So they were on a teleconference with reporters, and the person right before me, and he didn't know who was coming up because they just say your name, said, "What's it like living in South Bend?" And then when Davey didn't give him a hard enough, you know, an answer that was miserable enough, he said, "Well, I mean, you've got to read the paper every day and read about how great this team is, because Willingham's first year, they were 8-0. And he goes, "I'll tell you what, that South Bend Tribune, it gets delivered at the end of my driveway, and I drive right over it every day." And then they go, "Next question, Eric Hansen from the South Bend Tribune."
And did you just ask a question?
I said, "Coach, we're going to have to get you interested in resubscribing." And there was just like dead silence. And whoever else was on the call kind of rescued that from being a total disaster.
Oh, my God.
I was just late getting out of a staff meeting. Not with the coaches, but my new group of usher recruits. I went out and recruited me a new group of ushers. Did some strategic planning. Put them through a little conditioning test. Got them some binoculars. They're going to be on the outlook. They're going to be looking out this weekend for any new T-shirts they see in that stands. So I got a whole new group of guys, and I got them all coached up, ready to go.
We've derailed the chat.
I'm sorry.
That was great. I started it with my story.
Oh, I got a lot more I could play. Maybe that'll just be a summertime hour. Okay. I'm going to tell you what, Eric. Don from Scottsdale, he wants to know, Riley Leonard was injured all preseason, or it seemed. Have you seen him in a live practice? I know he has the size, athletic ability, and experience, but is he as accurate as CJ Carr? Not suggesting Carr should jump the depth chart, but it seems to me Angeli and Minchie are pretty good. I've heard there are a million reasons why he came. Is he worth it? Wow.
So Don has pretty thoughtful questions. I mean, the questioners, I'm lucky. I should pay these people. Their questions are so good if I actually had a budget. But what I prefaced it was, I think a lot of how we view Riley Leonard is through the disappointment of Sam Hartman. And Sam Hartman, when you look at his numbers, they were pretty good. He didn't deliver the happily ever after.
Right.
And I think a lot of that, again, falls on Jarrod Parker not having a counterpunch as a young offensive or an inexperienced offensive coordinator.
Preach.
But what I had to say is, yes, we did see one practice complete, the very first one, when Riley Leonard was healthy. So we saw him moving around. We saw him throwing the ball down the field and that kind of stuff. And then I also saw him play against Notre Dame last year when he was Duke, and I also saw him play Clemson when he was with Duke last year. And you remember this on the pregame show, Tyler Horka really liked him kind of going into that conversation we had preseason. And I thought, what is the big deal with Riley Leonard? Because his numbers didn't look off the charts, especially his pass efficiency. So I watched the Clemson game and I go, aha.
There it is.
He just toggles between the run game and the pass game so well. He rises in big moments. He's calm in big moments. There's something about him that transcends his numbers. But the next step in his evolution is adding the numbers. And that's what this year is about. Is C.J. Carr more accurate in his passing? I would say probably yes in the little bit that I've seen.
Fair.
Can Riley Leonard do things C.J. Carr can't do? Absolutely. C.J. Carr isn't anywhere close to him as a runner.
If Riley Leonard was a complete passer, he'd hear his name called in the NFL draft this weekend.
Absolutely.
He's got room to grow. And that's not taking a shot at him. This is why he's coming back, to win a lot of football games, to play in playoff games at Notre Dame, and now he gets to work with Mike Denbrock. What more could you want? I mean, LSU could have three guys taken in the first round tonight, maybe in the first 12, 13 picks.
And this is going to make some people drive off the road.
Uh-oh.
I actually made a prediction at the end of this answer. I said, I'll predict that Leonard will be the starter in 2024 and that C.J. Carr will be the starter in 2025.
I'll back you up on that.
Okay.
I think that's right. I'm not comparing players, but I'm talking about that trait you were mentioning. When I watched Leonard at Duke, the Clemson game, even a little bit in the Notre Dame game, he has a little bit of that Tim Tebow in him where he doesn't wow you the whole game, but all of a sudden, when the game gets interesting, he can make a big play for you. And Riley Leonard was the reason why Duke almost beat Notre Dame. They started running him, which they didn't do early on, and he took control of the game. And then the almost you're supposed to take a knee and all that happened, and Notre Dame got out of Dodge with a victory. But he's got that it thing.
Yep.
I don't want to say he's Tim Tebow. He's not, but he's just – everything doesn't show up in the numbers with him.
Right. But that's why Mike Denbrock is here, to make it show up in the numbers. That's how Jaden Daniels used to be. And then Jaden Daniels ended up – I'm not saying he's going to be Jaden Daniels, but Jaden Daniels' numbers at Arizona State his last year there were not nearly as impressive as Riley Leonard's in his one healthy season as – all the way as the starter at Duke.
Next up from Eric's chat at InsideIndySports.com, Jules from Joliet, Illinois. That's Mike Goolsby country. Jules says, good day, sir.
Wow,
look at that. What is the latest on Tyson Ford's situation? Also, how is Aiden Gobert progressing from his injury?
Tyson Ford is interesting because I think going into the Blue Gold game, we thought we would hear his name in the transfer portal on Sunday because he was not at the jersey scrimmage the weekend before, and he was away from the team pondering his future. He was not at the Blue Gold game in uniform. And yet his mom came up, spent some time with him, took some pictures, put them on social media. She put them on social media, Lynn Sims Ford. And they're all decked out in Notre Dame gear, and this is family, and so you're wondering, where is this going? And right now it's in limbo. He hasn't made a decision, hasn't announced a decision. You know, it seems like the portal makes some sense. I think mom really likes him being here in school. You know, he could always go in the portal once he has his Notre Dame degree. So that's to be continued. Aiden Gobira is a really talented football player who's had some bad luck. He has a relentless motor. He has a great burst off the edge. And then he got hurt in training camp last year. He tore an ACL, missed the whole year, was not back in action for spring practice yet. And in the meantime, Notre Dame gets RJ Oben from the portal, moves Joshua Burnham to that strong side, and brings in Bryce Young. So even when Aiden Gobira is healthy, and I think he's talented, and I don't underestimate his talent, but that's a big climb for him to get into the rotation, especially coming off an ACL, again, competing with those three.
Okay, very good. Bob from Oak Park, Illinois. Given the concerns about our offensive tackles controlling the Texas A&M defensive ends, people are ready for the season to start. How do you evaluate the skill set of our running backs to block or chip them to give our quarterback a fighting chance?
Well, Jabron Payne is really good at it, and that's why he was in there on third down a lot last year. I think Jadarian Price has gotten better. I think Jeremiah Love has gotten really a lot better at it. There was a play in the Blue Gold game where he chipped very well. the two guys where I think it's hit and miss right now, and one of them's missed because he missed most of spring, that was Kedron Young. Aeneas Williams had some good days with it. If those guys are going to play, it's going to be because they're able to do what Bob was asking about, because they both can run the ball.
Next up from Eric's chat at InsideIndySports.com, John from Scottsdale, Arizona. He wants to know, you've observed Coach Freeman through three springs and two full seasons. We've heard plenty on his many strengths as a coach. What do you view as his weakness that he still needs to work on?
Well, my joke answer that I gave John was that he has not stood on the table for a media appreciation parking lot for the practice days. I think, and now that they're building this new facility, there's going to be fewer places to park illegally and try to get away with it. I think last year the two things that were most pronounced were game day operations and game day decisions. And I feel like those two have been addressed this offseason. I mean, certainly Marcus is cognizant of them. Having Mike Denbrock in your ear, I think, is helpful. And having Al Golden back, that's helpful with both of those things. But we really won't see it until we see actual games. But those are the two areas.
Point.
And I think that's when we will be able to say whether that's cured.
Yeah, there's just a lot of things that you feel like should have happened last year. I mean, 10 men on the field against Ohio State for back-to-back plays with the game on the line, not having nonverbal communication for Duke.
And saying that he wanted Audric to go down on the one-yard line.
Disaster. Yeah. Louisville going for it on fourth and, 13 from, your own 30 with 10 minutes to go. That's just panic. That's panic.
And it was always, the analyst, it's like.
No.
Yeah. You have to see what the analyst numbers are, then you need to make the right decision based on other things. And sometimes it will be the analyst answer.
I honestly have no idea who I'm talking about, and I say this half tongue-in-cheek but half serious. The worst helper, analyst, assistant coach in Notre Dame history was the person who told Brian Kelly whether to go to two or not, for two or not. I mean, there were times it was puzzling. I go back to the Hurricane game against Clemson. They're in overtime if they kick two extra points. He just kept chasing points, and drives me nuts. That person, whoever it was, hope it wasn't you. Secretly.
It was not me. Okay. No. He did not consult me on any plays.
Goodness. All right, finally, Frank from Royce City, Texas. I'm back to my portal questions. Who is Notre Dame targeting in the portal?
I mean, right now, for sure, a punter and a cornerback. And, I mean, depending on who leaves, they may target somebody else. And I would think they're at least combing through the offensive tackles. And there's new people still going into the portal. As far as underclassmen, the portal is open until April 30th, which is next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then grad transfers can go in at any time, but you're not going to get a grad transfer offensive tackle in the summer. That's not happening.
Okay. You can read the entire transcript at InsideIndySports.com. You can also participate next Wednesday at noon at InsideIndySports.com. 5:58, Twitter question of the day is coming up next. By the way, Coach Davey, what do you think of Eric and Darren hosting Sports Beat?
They're explosive.
.602 at WSBT. Eric Hansen, Darren Pritchett with you. Sports Beat, InsideIndySports.com. Twitter question of the day. It's available during the week at 960SportsBeat. Eric is kind enough to retweet them to his followers as well. And you were voting on this Wednesday question. What is your biggest Notre Dame football concern entering summertime? Four choices. Riley Leonard's ankle. Offensive tackle development. Add a cornerback. And also add a punter from the transfer portal. Well, there's no surprise it was a blowout.
So let me give the numbers, and you voted for the winning selection, offensive tackle development, 73%. What do you believe was second? And then what would you vote as the second biggest concern entering the summertime? Probably Leonard's ankle, cornerback, punter.
Yeah, I think Leonard's ankle was probably second.
18%.
And I would have voted for that.
Adding a cornerback, 5%. Adding a punter, 4%. Who needs a punter when you got a great offense?
Well, I mean, they have Eric Goins, but I think they like somebody that is elite. Eric is a great story. I mean, hasn't played football in 9 years in college and 30 years old. I think it's cool.
Okay. We now move along to today's question.
9 years, not 9 times.
We posted this afternoon on my Twitter X account at 960SportsBeat. Today's question is this. Which team selects Notre Dame offensive tackle Joe Alt in tonight's NFL draft? Four choices. At number 5, the Los Angeles Chargers. They've had a run of Notre Dame players there. Aloy Gilman's still doing good things for the Chargers. And they
what I tell you about over-delivering those kids from Hawaii.
There you go. Prime example. They had Drew Tranquil, let him go, and he won a Super Bowl with Kansas City. They had Jerry Tillery, and they said adios. Okay, at number 7, the Tennessee Titans. At number 10, would you like to block for Aaron Rodgers as a member of the New York Jets? Ugh. Or your fourth choice is other. All right, Eric, your vote goes where?
You have influenced me, so I'm going with the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh.
I kind of influenced you maybe in a different direction because the rumors are they may not take him. But we'll see. We'll see.
I'm going with your
pick. You're going to go? Okay.
Your pick.
All right. Let me see. In my mock draft later tonight. Yeah. Okay. I have a big trade. He goes 5. But there's a trade.
Okay.
So you'll have to stay tuned in the 6 o'clock hour for the trade that sends Joe Alt to this team.
Okay.
All right. So we'd love for you to vote on my Twitter X account at 960 SportsBeat. Results tomorrow. Brand new question tomorrow. And?
I'll give you another trivia question. If Joe Alt goes 5th, he will be the highest drafted Notre Dame offensive lineman since what year? I won't ask you who it was. Since what year? You just have to get the decade right. I'll give you the decade.
I'm trying to remember how high Aaron Taylor was taken.
He was 16th, so he wasn't even. The highest have been.
Wait, so you're wanting to know. Say it one more time.
Higher than 5th. So the last time Notre Dame had a top 5 offensive lineman. So Quentin Nelson was 6th.
Darn it.
Ronnie Stanley was 6th. Mike McGlinchey 9th. So we're somebody that was 5 or higher as an offensive lineman from Notre Dame. So just the decade. You just have to
pick. The 60s.
You are correct.
Really?
George Koontz, 1969, Atlanta Falcons. He was number 2.
No kidding.
And do you remember what team picked Joe Alt's dad in the first round?
Well, I know he played almost his entire career, if not all, with the Kansas City Chiefs. So that would be my final answer.
Kansas City Chiefs in 1984.
Because he played against my Broncos a lot of times. For some reason, that name. I think he was 76, if I remember right.
And what pro sport did his brother Mark play? Did Joe's brother Mark play?
Baseball.
Throw your gloves and sticks.
What?
He was in the NHL.
Oh, my gosh.
He's still bouncing around the minor leagues. Mark Alt.
Mark Alt?
Yeah.
Wow, I don't think I ever made the connection. How about that? Well, there was one smart brother.
All right, I'm done giving you trivia questions.
Whew, I'm exhausted. Holy
you can
cow.
See what I've been doing this afternoon, trying to get stuff
nuggets.
Ready for my story.
No, it's fantastic. Love the Nuggets. I wonder when the last time the first two Notre Dame players off the board were offensive linemen. Would it be
It might have been Nelson and McGlinchey.
I think it was. I'm looking.
I can't imagine somebody else would have been taken in between those two.
It was, yeah. They were 6 and 9, so yeah.
Oh, that's right. McGlinchey did go in the top 10,
yeah.
Didn't he?
That's yeah,
right.
And then Durham Smythe was in the 4th round, and Equanimee St. Brown in the 6th. So there were 4 guys drafted that year.
How about that?
Yep.
All right. Well, no good nugget there.
Oh, it is a good nugget, because I don't think that's happened very often.
6 and 9 is a lot better than maybe 5 and 45, like it could be this year. But still, pretty cool. Harry Hiestand lives on. All right, 8 minutes after 6 o'clock, I need to do this. Somebody posted television ratings. I sent it to you from like 1979 or something, 1980. And the top 20 shows in America, soap was not in the top 20. Isn't that unbelievable?
Well, it wasn't on for very long. Yeah, but, it is unbelievable.
But in that time frame.
It was a good show. Billy Crystal was on it.
Okay, hot shot. What was the number one show that year?
In 1979?
Yes. A guy and two gals living together.
Oh, Three's Company.
There you go.
Come on, knock on my door. I've been waiting for you because they're hers and hers and his.
Are you singing to me?
I don't Three's Company, too.
What's coming up at InsideIndieSports.com?
Tyler James and Greg Smith, our national analysts, did Factor Fiction. Notre Dame's NFL draft performance will boost recruiting. We also have Trail Tracks, where all the Notre Dame assistants are out recruiting today. Of course, the chat transcript's still up. I'll have lots of NFL coverage tonight. Tyler will take over on Friday and Saturday and do all the draft coverage, and we'll have much, much more, including Notre Dame lacrosse. Big game this weekend against Virginia.
Every game's big in lacrosse, it seems like. Every time they play someone, it's a ranked team.
Seriously. Well, I mean, like, the women are playing in the ACC semifinals tomorrow. They are the 2 seed. Boston College is in the 3 seed. And yet, in the national rankings, they are also 2 and 3. So, in both genders, lacrosse in the ACC is a grind.
Has a college ever won both titles in the same year?
I don't think so, but I'm not. That would be a trivia answer that I don't know off the top of my head. I don't think so, because I don't think maybe Syracuse has.
Does John Hopkins have female women's lacrosse?
I don't think they're. If they do, that they're any good.
Yeah.
But Syracuse, Virginia, Duke, those would be the teams that would have a chance. And I'm not sure that that's happened.
I believe Johns Hopkins lacrosse and Notre Dame hockey are the 2 teams that are in the Big Ten that are not full-time members.
Okay.
There you go. We'll leave it at that.
Hey, we see Marlon Collins without sharks for the first time.
Oh, Harry, now stop. All right, Eric, have a wonderful weekend, and we
you
will
too.
Talk to you next week.
Take care.
Make sure you check out Eric's website at InsideIndieSports.com. He will have a story up later tonight on Joe Alt being selected by fill in the blank. 611 at Sports Radio 960 WSBT. It is 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Sports Beat continues on 960 AM WSBT, streaming live at WSBTRadio.com and through our WSBT Radio app. Also a live video stream on the Twitch app. I'm Darren Pritchett. We're brought to you by Budweiser and their great product, Ghost Energy. It's the feel-good energy drink we've all been waiting for, featuring Sour Patch Kids-inspired flavors. First State Bank, committed to being a premier financial partner, First State Bank demonstrates and delivers hometown values by Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, now with 3 locations, serving Michiana's most favorite pizza since 1978, and Bethel University Athletics. Sign-ups for U summer sports camps are underway. Visit bupilots.com for details. We are 37 minutes away from joining coverage of the National Football League draft here on WSBT Radio, a draft that will begin with the Chicago Bears picking first. And unless there's the shock of the century, they will take USC quarterback Caleb Williams. A very interesting offseason
For the Chicago Bears, they fired offensive coordinator Luke Getsy, and they hired Shane Waldron, who spent time as the offensive coordinator in Seattle to take over this offense. Eric Washington hired as defensive coordinator. And, of course, among other things, Justin Fields, their first-round pick a couple of years ago, was shipped off to the Pittsburgh Steelers, opening the door for the Bears to use their number one pick on a quarterback. The Bears also opened up some salary cap space where they released safety Eddie Jackson and offensive lineman Cody Whitehair. In fact, that freed up about $21 million in cap space, and that helped them extend cornerback Jalen Johnson, who got a four-year, $76 million contract, a great contract for the All-Pro, and the Bears keep a very important part of their defense in Chicago. The Bears traded for veteran wide receiver Keenan Allen from the L.A. Chargers. The Chargers picked up the Bears' fourth-round pick this year. It is pick number 110 overall. Allen, 31 years old, dynamic player in the slot. You put DJ Moore, Keenan Allen on the same field, it gives Caleb Williams a great chance to succeed, and maybe they add another wide receiver at number 9. The Bears sign Kevin Byard, a safety, 2-year contract. DeAndre Swift, running back from the Philadelphia Eagles, hopped on board. They picked up another Charger and tight end Gerald Everett to a 2-year contract, and they picked up Ryan Bates, an offensive tackle from Buffalo, for a 5th-round pick. So those are some of the moves that they made during the offseason, and Ryan Poles is pretty satisfied with all the moves leading up to tonight's National Football League draft.
The job's never done, but we have had those conversations, and it does put a smile on your face in terms of the work that we've done. Like, I feel like we've done a good job getting the roster where it is. It makes me feel really fortunate about some of the things that happened to allow us to build the roster maybe a little bit more efficiently than if everything was kind of flat. So it's something to be proud of, but at the same time, you know, the job's not done. I've talked about it before. On paper, it's on paper. Like, you got to play and you got to win games in this league. That's what it comes down to. But we have taken the time just to, for a second, not long, but and we're proud of where we've come from.
All right. One thing about the process, the Bears brought in only one quarterback for a visit to Hallis Hall. It was Caleb Williams, and that's why there is no doubt who they are going with tonight. The Commanders brought in a whole bunch of quarterbacks at the same time. They all went bowling, kind of strange. Bears found the guy they liked, found the guy they wanted, and they locked in on him. That included Ryan Poles taking Caleb Williams out for dinner.
I think it just confirmed a lot of the information that we got. Kind of testing where his football understanding is. That part, you know, getting him with the coaches, that was a very positive interaction there. And then getting him with some of our players, that's important to us. We're in a really good place with our culture and our locker room. As much as I can, I want those guys a part of the process of building this team. I trust their feedback. And, you know, I think that chemistry is really important. So that's why we did that.
The player feedback's interesting. Not saying it is unique, but I would call it rare. Now, when you have the number one pick, you have the ability to bring in the guy that you might want to take, get him around team members, see how he works well in that environment, what the players think of him. Now, if you have the 3rd, 4th, 5th pick, it's not as easy to do that. So here was GM Ryan Poles on why he needed player feedback.
Yeah, really intelligent guy. Came across as a really good teammate. Easy to talk to, down to earth. You know, we've talked through this process about, you know, the whole Hollywood thing. He's all ball, wants to work, wants to get better, wants to win as a team. That's the number one thing for him, on top of being successful. So, you know, I think the biggest thing is, like, does he fit in our culture and what we're trying to do? And all signs were that he does. So that was positive.
earlier today on the Colin Cowherd Show, heard on WSBT Radio weekday afternoons, Colin spoke with a guy who has broke down NFL film for decades, the son of the great broadcaster Howard Cosell, Greg Cosell. He does tremendous work breaking down film, and Colin asked Greg Cosell to talk a little bit about Caleb Williams and what he saw on tape and what he feels about the Bears going ahead and taking the USC quarterback.
I do think he's the best quarterback prospect in this draft. I don't think he's the best quarterback prospect I've seen in 20 years. I would say that the one thing, look, we know about his ability to make plays outside of structure. There's no question he has great spatial awareness. He can calmly navigate chaos. He's really good at that. We know that. And that's become a more important trait. But I think the thing that I really like about him, and I just mentioned this in a negative way with Drake May, I think Caleb Williams controls the ball really well. I think that he can place it where he wants to place it. And as long as you can do that, that's a really good starting point. That's a non-negotiable when it comes to quarterbacks.
Yeah.
If you can't throw it where you want to, then you don't really have a whole lot going for you. So that's the one thing about Williams that I think really stood out to me, that he really controls the ball extremely well.
All right, that's Greg Cosell breaking down the tape of Caleb Williams, expected to be the number one pick of the Chicago Bears tonight. At number nine, the Chicago Bears are back on the clock. Again, GM Ryan Poles, what are traits that he is looking for with that ninth overall selection?
Yeah, I mean, they got to impact the football team from a skill set standpoint. But we always are going to look at some key things when we talk about passion for the game. We talk about coachability, dependability, resilience. Those things are going to be consistent from the first overall pick to, you know, a seventh round draft pick. Like, we want guys that have that. We have an indicator we put on their tag. We put a bear head on their tag because, you know, we call them the grizzly, the top bear. They have those traits. So we're always looking to hit those. And obviously the earlier, you know, in the draft, you want to have those. The other thing too is, you know, we had a good conversation with a Hall of Famer that is one of Ian's mentors. And he said, you want the guys in that first round to be the cover of your album. You know, you want those to be the one where everyone can look to that player and be like, all right, what he's made of is what we all need to be a part of. So that's important as well.
You have the number one pick on the draft. You're taking a quarterback. Why not surround him with as much offensive talent that you can? And that's why it makes total sense for the Bears to go wide receiver at number nine. I know you could use another pass rusher. Some people have talked about offensive tackle with the great group of offensive tackles at the top of the draft. But the fact that Caleb Williams threw to Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Rome Odunze from Washington gives you an idea that they are quite interested in the Husky wide receivers. So when you get to number nine, and I think the Bears will pick, I don't think they need to acquire draft picks because this roster that Poles has put together is very, very deep.
Yeah, things shift and change as you go along. It's going to be hard to make this team now. It's going to be really hard to make this team. That doesn't mean you don't want more shots later. We'll always welcome a lot of picks, but it doesn't force you to panic about the situation we're in right now with how many picks we have. So it fits our roster, but it also fits kind of like we just talked about, the current status of this draft, and then moving forward what next year looks like as well.
You've got a chance to draft an elite player at nine. Other points of a franchise as they rebuild, maybe you drop back and you acquire more picks because the Bears only have four picks in this year's draft. To me, this is a moment to go get a difference maker, an elite player. Last year at this time, drop back here. Go get yourself a really outstanding football player to help your quarterback grow. That you're putting everything into Caleb Williams. They got rid of Justin Fields to open this door, so why not fill the cupboard up with as much talent around Williams as possible? All right. It is impossible to have a successful NFL mock draft. I will prove that with the top 15 picks of the draft. My selections with a bunch of trades coming up in just a couple of moments. It is 6:33 on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT. I'm Darren Pritchett. We roll on with Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat with the National Football League Draft occurring on WSBT Radio tonight, starting at the top of the hour. One of the fun parts of the NFL Draft is the lead-up and all the mock drafts that are out there for you to consume. And we always look back at those mock drafts, and they really don't look anything like what happens actually in the first round of the NFL Draft, but it is fun to try to guess. So I'm going to prove that it is impossible to have a really good mock draft by trying the first 15 picks from the Bears to the Colts. Number one, I think we're going to get this one right. The Chicago Bears up first, and they're going to take Caleb Williams, the quarterback from the University of Southern California. One of his worst games as a collegiate player was at Notre Dame Stadium last year. The Irish picked him off three times. Pick number two, the Washington Commanders on the clock. Dan Quinn, the Cowboys defensive coordinator, is the new head coach. He brought in former Arizona head coach Cliff Kingsbury, who did some really good things with Kyler Murray in the desert. Kyler Murray can throw it around. He can run all over the place, which leads you to believe that the Commanders at number two will go with LSU quarterback. He worked with Mike Denbrock, Jaden Daniels. At number three, are the Patriots in play to move down? I'm going to say no. The Patriots, Mac Jones, didn't work out. Not a great relationship. So, North Carolina's quarterback, Drake May, in my opinion, goes to the New England Patriots. Then the draft starts at number four. What do the Arizona Cardinals do? Do they draft or do they move down? They moved down last year from three and then hop back into the top 10 at number six. I'm going to say Arizona keeps the pick this time. And I believe the Arizona Cardinals will go with a guy that played at Notre Dame Stadium last season. Ohio State wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. His shadow, Benjamin Morrison, does not go to Arizona with this pick. Now we move to number five. Jim Harbaugh, the new head coach of the LA Chargers. He wants to be a physical football team. He wants to be able to run the ball. And a pretty good place to start would be to take an offensive tackle. But there's a lot of good tackles in this first round. That's why I believe the Chargers will acquire draft capital. They will drop back. And we've got a trade. The Chargers move the number five pick to the New York Jets, and they select Notre Dame offensive tackle Joe Alt. They watched Aaron Rodgers rip his Achilles in the first game of last year because his tackle couldn't block. Joe Alt solves that problem. At number six, the New York Giants are on the clock, and I think they go with another Denbrock guy, LSU wide receiver Malik Nabers. They're kind of stuck at the quarterback position, maybe for one more year. Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes, do they go get J.J. McCarthy? I just don't think you can do that if you're New York at this point. But if you love the quarterback, I guess you got to do it. At seven, the Tennessee Titans need an offensive tackle. They would love Joe Alt, but they settle for Penn State's Oumuawa Fashanu, offensive tackle for the Nittany Lions. Another trade in my mock draft at number eight. The Falcons move out of that spot. And I think the Minnesota Vikings move in because they want to get their quarterback. And they take Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy at number eight. At number nine, I think this is an easy choice for the Bears. Washington wide receiver Roma Ondunze to go with D.J. Moore, Keenan Allen, Caleb Williams. Eyes will light up like a kid on Christmas morning with those three to throw to. And DeAndre Swift can catch the football coming out of the backfield. That gives him a really good chance to succeed. And oh, yeah, that Cole Kmet guy still in Chicago. All right, at number 10, the Jets traded out of that spot to move up. The Chargers take over that position, and they get their physical offensive tackle from Alabama, J.C. Latham. The Falcons move from 8 to 11 in my trade with the Vikings, and the Falcons at 11, they're going to take the first defensive player, and it's an edge rusher from Alabama, Dallas Turner. At number 12, my pathetic Denver Broncos are on the clock, and they move down with the Philadelphia Eagles moving up from 22 to 12. The Eagles won an offensive tackle, and they get Oregon State's Talise Fuaga, who did not play against the Irish, and that was a good thing. At 13, the Jacksonville Jaguars trade up in Las Vegas' spot, and the Jaguars need a corner, and they go get what appears to be the best guy. The Jaguars, in that trade at 13, take the cornerback from Toledo, Quinyon Mitchell. At 14, the New Orleans Saints take one of the fast risers in the draft, defensive tackle from Texas, Byron Murphy. And at number 15, the Indianapolis Colts could use some help on defense, but this guy's sitting there, and it's too intriguing. I've got the Colts at 15 taking Georgia tight end Brock Bowers. No chance any of this happens, but it's worth a shot. NFL Draft, round number one tonight, rounds two and three on Friday, four through seven comes your way on Saturday, and we are looking forward to bringing the NFL Draft to you, in particular with Joe Alt going in the first round tonight. We've got our sports wagering segment, We Going to Sizzler, coming up in a matter of moments as Sports Beat continues on your home of the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame and tonight's National Football League Draft, Sports Radio 960, WSBT South Bend.
Hey everyone, Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.